listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And yes, he is right. You are officially on the couch, as you always are at this time on Friday, Pacific Standard Time, on LA Talk Radio, 11 a.m., of course, and wherever you are at around the world. Welcome. I'm your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle. And as we always do, we talk about the coolest stuff here on my show, which includes anything about making your mind feel better. Existing in the world, getting your relationships together, personally and business-wise as well. So welcome in, folks. If you want to call in, by the way, to my show as usual, you can do so at 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. And, of course, you can find me on my email at docmichelle@aol.com. Well, right there, you can ask me questions. If you have responses to the show, if you want to, you know, ask questions, go for it. I'd love to hear from you. My website, of course, is drmichelletherapy.com. drmichelle with two L's therapy.com, because that's what I do. And we talk about positive life changes. Making positive life, that's what it's all about. Come on, it's about the mind. You got to think, you got to get your act together. And that's one of the reasons why I welcome my guest to the show today. He is the author of a book, which is amazing. What an undertaking. Woo! But it will help you in the entertainment industry find a job. It will help you find a job and learn how to connect with other people in any industry, as a matter of fact, that you'd like. But there's also such a huge psychological component to it, which I really like. So welcome, Mike Flanagan, the author of Hollywood Jobs. So nice to have you here in the studio.
Thank you, Dr. Michelle. I'm very pleased to be here.
It's great to see you. This is an incredible undertaking.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Wow. I was 493 pages, as a matter of fact.
It's quite a few, and it could have been longer.
Well, you know, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. But somebody who's writing 493 pages always thinks that, right?
Well, you have to kind of excise certain things. Yeah, keep it interesting.
Exactly. So the book, basically, Hollywood Jobs, and I'm reading off your press pack here, but it nailed it. It's a systematic approach to finding the job of your dreams, people.
That's right, absolutely.
It's filled with job-finding tips, including how strangers can help you find work. Huh? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
The most powerful job-searching tool ever invented, and why asking for a job never works. And we can get into those things, too. If you really think about these things, Mike's going to help fill us in all that stuff. The book's called, actually, The Bible for Job Seekers. All right. Let's talk about where people can get the book first, right off the bat, so they can be thinking about this.
Well, thank you, Dr. Michelle.
Sure.
It is available in limited quantities through HollywoodJobs.tv.
Okay.
The book's pretty new, and we've been pretty controlled with the circulation of it, so it's not readily available. We use it for some of our other purposes through our school, which is a Video Symphony. It's a TV and film school, and that's actually how the book, you know, really came about.
Right.
Because I've been working with graduates of our school for 15 years to help them get work in Hollywood.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So the thing is I was really interested in this book because I work with a lot of clients who are in the entertainment business, have been in the entertainment industry, and, you know, it's L.A., you know?
Right.
It's L.A.
Yep.
So it's like, oh my gosh, I'm anxious about this, and I'm worried about this, and how am I coming off to people? And I don't want to be a nudge, and I don't want to come off, you know. I mean, people are always focused who are in the industry, and people, of course, now who are looking for jobs. How can I put it out? How can I do better? It's so confusing. So basically, you can tell folks, why did you write this? What's the point of all this 493 pages?
Well, Dr. Michelle, I believe that if people have the right knowledge, the job search becomes a lot easier and a lot less anxiety producing.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and most people, though, really don't think of it in terms of an endeavor that they have to
right.
gear their brain up for.
Right.
So they don't really learn too much about how to do it. They
right.
use their gut feelings about how to go about doing it. And mm-hmm. then they don't necessarily do that much.
Right.
And if they do spend much time on their job search, they don't really do the right things. They don't get the results that they're looking for. And they start mm-hmm. getting discouraged. And as a result, they do even less.
Mm-hmm.
And they have sort of a downward spiral, which is why we have so many people that are
right.
unemployed and underemployed.
Yes, yes.
And chronically so.
They've
been looking this way for, you know, 18 months, 2 years. There's a sizable number of people out there like that.
And you know, there really is, and it's really a scary thing right now. A lot of it, of course, has to do with the economy, as we know, but it's also, you know, the ability of people to know what they're doing. Can we also, you know, you've been teaching people how to get jobs for a long time, seminars, workshops. You're very modest. Can you share more of your background with us, too? I mean, you know, are you a practicing attorney?
I am not. I'm a recovering attorney. An RA.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
So I got out of attorneydom quite a long time ago.
Yes.
And got into something a little bit more.
You went through Attorneys Anonymous, did you? Those 10 steps of recovery, right?
Well, had there only been one
12.
Of those back
then, right.
Yes.
Right.
So, but no, attorneying is a good background for a lot of things.
Yeah.
It wasn't the thing I wanted to do for a living. And that
well,
actually
sure.
Fits in with a lot of our audience here because a lot of people want to do fun, creative work. And I decided to do that in an entrepreneurial way, which was becoming an entrepreneur and starting my own businesses,
mm-hmm,
which
mm-hmm.
I've done several of.
Yep.
And I have adopted an entrepreneurial approach to helping people find work.
Yes.
And having a system for them to be able to find work
mm-hmm.
by going through a certain process. So it's applying business principles really mm-hmm. to job search as opposed to just doing it the way most people do it conventionally, which is really very haphazardly and just kind of hoping for the best.
Right. What I like about it is you're attacking it on all ends. You are very thorough in this book, in all of your chapters. And, you know, you go through the new way of internet resumes, why resumes aren't bad, aren't really that good. You know, also you talk about networking, you know, peopling. How can we get our people? You know, how can we continuously catch up? What blew me away about you the moment we, you know, met today, this is the first time we've met, is that you walked in and you knew everything about the radio station. You knew a lot about me. You know what? I'd hire you. You don't need to be hired.
Excellent.
You've already got a job.
I could
but
use a good job.
That was an amazing heads up for me. You are the first live guest I've ever had who knew everything, the history of this radio station, who knew a lot of my background. I mean, honestly, folks, if you're wondering about this gentleman here, Mike Flanagan, who wrote the book Hollywood Jobs, he does his research. He knows what he's talking about. And that was a great lesson for me. It went, oh, my God, I thought I should have had a V8 when you said that. It was like, oh. By the way, folks, if you just tuned in, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, as you always are this time, Pacific Standard Time, on LA Talk Radio. And my guest today is author Mike Flanagan. The book is called Hollywood Jobs. It's about how to get a job, not only in the entertainment industry, but anywhere, how to cope with it, how to work through the system in our world right now and function and feel good about it and feel good about yourself. Let's get into the meat of the book. In your first chapter, you talk about the four C's of the Hollywood entertainment job search system. We always need little keys like that. The four C's, what are the four C's?
Well, that's a good question, Dr. Michelle. Thanks for asking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I first developed the four C's, I was fairly impressed by it. I got the alliteration thing going. You know, it makes it
there
easier
you go.
To remember.
That works.
Actually, I'd like to back up from that before I get into the four C's, and I'll talk about the two parts to it.
Cool.
Okay, which makes it easier, and it's very appropriate for our Hollywood audience.
Okay.
And that is, I called my system really the story audience system.
Mm.
You have a story, and you have an audience. Okay, now within your audience, which is the more important part, frankly,
yeah.
Okay, you have two C's, which are your contacts and companies.
Right.
Companies are, of course, the ultimate provider of jobs. Right. So we need to know about our companies, and we need to know about the contacts that mm-hmm. are essentially the mm-hmm. conduit, another nice C word, which I don't use too often in the book, actually, uh-huh. but the uh-huh. contacts are the conduit into those companies.
Mm-hmm.
We have our story, which is ultimately what we are selling or what we are offering, and that's made up of our contribution.
Uh-huh.
Hey, what can I do?
Like it.
What can
right.
I do? You know, what can I do
right.
for an employer? How can I help an employer mm-hmm. make money? How can I help an employer save money? But what are my skills and attributes that I bring into the situation?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Because an employer needs to get a job done. Can you do the job? Okay.
Right.
What is that job? So that's one of the C's is contribution. And then the other C is communication, which is how do you make that story relevant? How do you get that story out
yes.
to your audience?
Yes.
So the main communication tool that people are familiar with is the resume.
Right.
Okay. And then second after that would be the cover letter. And those two oftentimes go hand in hand, but oftentimes they don't. Those are the main communication tools people use.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you and I are trying to have a conversation mm-hmm. and we're doing it only via talk radio like this,
mm-hmm.
it's great, but we're also limited in our ability to communicate.
Exactly.
If we're not using the phone,
right.
we're not doing an email, I'm not seeing you face to face.
Right, right.
You know, we're not using the internet, you're not using a website. You're playing with a limited set of tools if you're only using one tool.
Yeah.
And the problem with job searchers is they typically are playing with only one or two tools rather than a lot of tools.
Right, right.
Yeah. So anyway, there's an over-reliance on resumes, and that's one of the big problems with them.
What do you mean over-reliance? I mean, what? Isn't that a good thing?
Well, the resume is not well structured to generate attention, and that's
uh-huh.
mainly what you're using the resume for.
Right.
So there's, you know, there's probably somewhere in the order of a couple thousand resumes floating around for every job that's out there, because resumes are
right.
kind of like cheap
right.
money in Zimbabwe.
Okay? Yes, yes.
You can produce them pretty inexpensively and actually free nowadays if, when you figure email.
Yeah.
So it costs nothing to create a resume and send it out all over the place. So they're cheap, and,
yes.
and they've gone down in value then. So if you're relying just on a resume to capture someone's attention,
mm-hmm.
it's not very well suited for that purpose, and there's just too many of them. So you have to figure out other ways of breaking through this cloud of resumes to capture an employer's attention.
Yep.
So you can do that with any number of things. You can do it with a website. You can do it with online profiles. You can do it, of course, with standard items like business cards. You can do it by leaving good phone messages, having a very good professional outgoing message on your phone machine or on your voicemail.
Yes.
There are, you know, you can use postcards, you can use little brochures.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of creative things you can do. They're, you know, a little unconventional, but they can be very effective.
Yes.
Because what you're trying to do when you're looking for work initially is capture the interest of an employer.
Yes. Brings me back to a story of a friend. Let me digress.
There's no digression.
You can use this in your next book. He's a very famous voiceover artist, and about 20 years ago, he was trying to get heard, get a voice, so as to speak, with other, you know, agents. He's awesome. He's amazing. He's very successful. He's doing a lot of national commercials and has for years, but he couldn't break through that resume thing.
Mm-hmm.
He was lucky because it was near Thanksgiving. He ordered a turkey, packaged turkey to be delivered the day before the holiday to each agent he wanted to be with. And on the front, he had his resume with a card saying, "I am not a turkey, but you can enjoy this for Thanksgiving on me." He got calls from everyone. I mean, is that a corny kind of a thing to do?
Hey, it's very clever.
Okay.
Very clever, and it captured people's attention,
it
right?
It did.
And the results speak for themselves.
Okay.
Yeah.
So putting it out there and finding innovative ways of jobs. I love the turkey story.
That's right. And you know, the cookies would work
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
Brownies, if you know someone likes chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are, interesting enough, is because of the proliferation of email and the internet, people
right.
have really lost the art of using mail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, mail can actually work very well.
Yes.
And so people have a natural curiosity. If they get a little package and it
right.
crinkles when you, or if it's got something inside it
mm-hmm.
and it looks
mm-hmm.
like something other than just a piece of paper, people are invariably going to open that.
Right.
Okay. And you can mm. put in little knickknacks in there.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the types of things that very, very few job seekers ever really think about
interesting.
Doing, let alone doing.
Right.
But you can do stuff like that to capture people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you just send a regular old letter, a number 10 envelope,
mm-hmm.
but you hand address it.
Very interesting.
That will capture people's attention because it doesn't look like some kind of canned
right.
pre-packaged approach like you're just sending out to 1,000 people or whatever. It's,
right.
it's personalized, and it doesn't take someone very long to just write out that envelope with,
right.
with someone's address. So there's a lot of little odds and ends things you can do, but they can be very, very effective.
One of the things, of course, we all know in psychology, as you know, is to connect meaning and have a connection with someone else is to have something to remember them by. You connect that turkey with that guy. You connect that little keychain you sent with someone with your name on it, with a smiley face or something like that,
right.
that looks cool. You know, you connect that pen that's, ooh, that's a nice pen, with your name on it, you know, that you sent in the mail, something like that. So, I mean, it's important to have those kind of things, too.
Right. It's like a tagline. It's
yeah,
like, you know,
tagline
like
is right.
On the couch.
Exactly. There you go. When you talk about why employers will give you jobs in Chapter 5, you talk about the golden rule. The golden rule. Mike Flanagan's golden rule. What is that?
I totally made this up myself.
Oh, cool.
I know you're
going
to be surprised.
Yeah.
It's the golden rule, which everyone's pretty much
yeah.
heard about, which is, doing unto others as you would want them to do unto you. It's essentially in marketing terms or how we talk about it in the job search world, it's WIFM, WIFM.
Mm-hmm.
People want to know
mm-hmm.
the WIFM, which is
mm-hmm.
what's in it for me.
Right.
And so if I'm an employer and I get a piece of paper on my desk and it happens to be your resume
mm-hmm.
or it's emailed to me,
right.
I have to be able to, know
mm-hmm.
almost instantly, hey, what's in it for me? Why do I want to spend my time opening
exactly.
this or taking a look at it? Okay. And if it's not pretty clear pretty quickly,
right.
then someone's just going to move on.
Right.
Okay. And one of the problems with resumes is they sort of scream out, hey, it's all about me. I'm looking for work.
Right.
Can you help me? Okay.
Right,
and
right.
that's really not the message that you want to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the golden rule.
So the message you want to communicate is all those positive things that you write about in your book, Hollywood Jobs. The message you want to communicate is, I am so special, and I am going to really dazzle you with what I can do because, and that's what else you bring in that you suggest in the book.
Right,
and
absolutely
do a lot
correct.
Of research and
absolutely
things like
correct.
That.
Yeah, it's all about the contribution that you can bring to an employer.
Yeah.
So you need to show how you are special in some way, and special doesn't mean that you have some world-class talent. Obviously, that's nice if you do. It makes it a little easier.
Yeah.
But it can mean that you can do a good, solid job for someone. You're very conscientious, and you can do, a good job with Excel files,
yes.
for example, for
yes.
an employer.
Right.
Or you're really good with Microsoft Word.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're excellent with the cash register, and you're very friendly doing customer service.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots and lots of things that you can bring to bear so that an employer can see, I want this person. I need this person mm-hmm. to be excellent
mm-hmm.
at whatever job I may have for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. No, that's... it's really profound. A lot of the clients I have feel like they're coming off like pests, not only in the entertainment industry, which your book is called Hollywood Jobs, and it's geared towards folks getting jobs in the Hollywood entertainment industry or wherever in the country in the entertainment industry, but it really also has to do with just finding jobs and putting it out there and making the best you can for yourself to really impress employers. So, What are some of the tips that you give to people to not come off desperate, you have to be persistent, right? You have to really put it out there and be persistent.
Yeah, I have a section in my book called Persistence versus Pestiness, essentially.
Yes.
Yeah, you want to be not a pest, but you want to be persistent. Now, the reality is that there's no fine line where you can just say, hey, at this point you're being a pest,
mm-hmm.
at this point you're being persistent. You always have to, look at the context.
Mm-hmm.
In general, my belief is that people are far more likely to be scared
mm-hmm.
and fall off doing almost nothing,
right.
Maybe make one or two contacts and be nowhere close to being a pest. But they're very non-persistent,
mm-hmm.
and that's not a good thing when you are trying to assert,
mm-hmm.
And get a job.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to, I think most job seekers need to push the envelope a little bit more. That's sort of a stereotypical example of an excuse that people use. Oh, I don't want to be a pest, and so therefore I'm not going to call this person, I'm not going to email them again or whatever.
Right.
But one of the things I do advocate as a way of avoiding becoming crossed as a pest is really two things. One is to lead with some kind of value, okay? Always bring value, ABV,
mm-hmm.
meaning
mm-hmm.
that you're not going to look at me as a pest if I provide you with something that was helpful for you.
Right.
It could be, here's an interesting article. I thought you might find this interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a website that is a really cool new website
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
I figured you might be interested in. Here's mm-hmm. a really neat newsletter. For example, if I wanted to contact you, and I didn't want to come across as a pest.
Right.
I would find some trade publication, for example, or some talk radio show, for example, that speaks to you. And I say, dear Dr. Michelle, I just came across this radio show. I really like your radio show. I thought you might find this one interesting because they've got some, you know, different angles on it, or you know, there might be some tips that you can pick up from it, or maybe you can work out some kind of deal with them, or you know, on and on it goes. There's lots of things like that, because you know, it's a big, big world, and there's lots and lots of information out there, and so much of that information is free that you can easily find stuff that someone is not going to know, and they're going to think, you know, that's
really
great.
True.
So so if you do that, and you're always bringing value of some sort, then people are not going to see you as a pest. They're going to see you as a problem solver. You're, you're bringing solutions to them, and that's exactly what an employer wants. An employer wants someone who can be assertive and bring value and fix problems.
Yeah, great, great idea. By the way, folks, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle, as you always are, at this time on Fridays, Pacific Standard Time, 11 a.m. On LA Talk Radio. And my special guest today is Mike Flanagan. He's the author of the latest book. It's rather new. It's called Hollywood Jobs, and it is a book. It's an undertaking, and it will help you in, well, there's, what, 493 pages or something like that? But, you know, that's, of course, with the acknowledgments and the table of contents and, you know, bibliography and all
and
that stuff.
And a long index and lots of special features.
There's wonderful features in there. Can you talk a little bit more about the features to help people really understand how open this field is and how many opportunities there are out there?
Well, there are all sorts of very helpful resources, and I have a lot of appendix material. So out of that 493 pages, a fair amount of it is sort of what I put outside of the main flow of the book for someone that needs additional resources. But, you know, the biggest chapter in the book is, I think, also about the most innovative one. It's a chapter called Finding People Online. And it is very, very specific and detailed in terms of sort of a step-by-step of how you can find the right people to advance your career. It's extremely powerful, and it's, you know, courtesy of the internet with all the neat tools that are available to us, but most people are not aware of those tools. So, so I can ask you a question, which is, you know, going to be appropriate for, you know, all the ones in our audience, is, okay, when you think of Google, what do you think of? What's the word that we associate with Google?
Information.
Search.
Search.
Okay. And so people are very, very familiar with search. We do it all the time without even really thinking nowadays.
Right.
Okay. Now, if you think of either Facebook or Twitter, both very new pop things, we think of those and we think of conversation.
Right.
Okay.
Right, right, right.
And everyone is using those. So certainly, you know, 500 million people almost using Facebook, you know, up to almost 100 million now on Twitter. So these are things that are not like revolutionary now for us. We're all used to using them. So the thing here now is that if you combine the good attributes of both of those, you can get a tool that is out there readily available, and it allows you to do search and converse, which is really, really powerful way of getting jobs, and that's how you connect up with people. And I'll mention what that tool is right after, whenever you think it's good for keeping our audience.
Go for it. I'd love to hear.
Well, it's the tool, which a lot of people have heard of, but they don't necessarily use it, is LinkedIn.
Yes.
You know, LinkedIn is an extremely, extremely powerful tool for anyone that's doing job search. For that matter, anyone that's looking to develop business, even if they've got their own business or they're working in sales or business development for an employer and they're not necessarily looking for a job, it is just an amazing tool. If you know how to use it, it can just do great things for
you.
What
does it do?
Well, it's essentially, it's a people search engine. Most people think of Google when they think of search engines, but there are specialized search engines out there, of which LinkedIn is one of them. And if you know how to search it, which is not that hard to do, and you know the type of person you're looking for, then you can find lots of people and lots of interesting things about those people. So I believe it's the greatest job search tool in the world.
Oh, wow. And, folks, note that.
Yeah, and I describe that significantly in my book. I have quite a bit on how to use LinkedIn to its full value.
That is cool. We have a caller. Do you want to take a call, live call?
Oh, feel up to it? Sure.
All right, see if we can get somebody on the line here. Hi, this is Dr. Michelle, and you're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, my name's Susan.
Hey, Susan, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. I was calling to ask Mike Flanagan a question. Is he on yet?
Yeah, he is. Say hi, Mike.
Hi there, Susan.
Hi, Mike.
What would you like to ask him?
Well, I just wanted to ask him, it's kind of a such an all-encompassing question, but I wanted to ask him. I'm out of work now, and I'm really depressed about it, and I was just wondering what's the best way to proceed?
Mm-hmm. Good question.
That does happen quite a bit. My number one strategy for that is helping people have the head knowledge of how to do successful job search to minimize the amount of anxiety. Because what do we get scared about? We get scared oftentimes about things, rather, that we don't know all that much about.
Right.
They're kind of mysterious, and we then tend to conjure up a certain amount of doubts and anxiety because of those things. So when we look at a job search, a lot of people are not used to doing it, and what happens when they do is that they get fearful because they're not that good at it.
Yeah.
So it's realizing that, hey, you know what, I have a job search in front of me. I want to keep it as short as possible, but I need to understand a little bit about what I should do to do a good job search. And mm-hmm. by that process of learning a little bit and making sure that you're, you know, reasonably expert at it, that will take away a lot of the qualms that you have. And another thing is, in addition to this part, this goes along with knowing about how to do a job search, is to understand why it is that employers hire people. Most people, when they get into a job search, they tend to approach it from the perspective of it's kind of an adversarial relationship, that employers are out to weed out people, they're not
right.
really interested in seeing resumes, and they really are going to try to thwart you in your attempts to get a job. But you have to understand that employers need people. They need employees, and they actually need employees as much or more as employees need the employers. So if you realize that, then it takes a lot of the fear out of the equation, because you're not in this adversarial role trying to outwit an employer to have them give you a job. You are in a collaborative process of helping you and help them identify what needs they have that you can help them with. So,
do you think you're doing some of those things that Mike was talking about earlier, Susan? Go ahead.
Absolutely, I am.
Yeah, yeah.
I do feel adversarial about it.
Mm-hmm. You're putting it out there, and you have access to a lot of the internet information that Mike was talking about. And how do you feel about yourself in terms of your ability to get a job new? I mean, how do you feel confident about yourself?
Not confident enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I always feel like there's just such competition out there that it'd be a lot harder for me to get it, especially
mm-hmm.
nowadays with the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel there's a lot of competition because you've tried and just been turned down, or is it just sort of a feeling, just a general feeling based on what you hear from other people?
It's a lot based on what I hear from other people. Yeah, and also because I'm not getting responses. I'm filling out a lot of online applications, and I'm not getting any responses.
Mm.
Okay. Well, yeah, that would certainly explain part of it, too,
right.
because that particular process is way over-relied on, and the numbers are not, you know, good. There is a lot of competition in there because that's the easy way for people to apply for jobs. It's also the low on the totem pole of how employers actually find people, which I'll try to bring up here if we have time in
a few
minutes.
Sure. Employers, are just feeling overwhelmed by all the emails they have for these jobs, and they'll just, I mean, what's going to bring out something that an employer really wants to click and read that resume on?
Well, I think the more important thing is to mm-hmm. back up a step, which actually,
right.
before we back up, just one thing is that what I do is I offer a limited number of free resume critiques. So if Susan, you or someone else out there listening would like to get some insight about what it is that you're offering through the resume critique, then I can take a look at that and give you some tips or whatever. The way of getting that is if you go to the hollywoodjobs.tv website, then you could submit online there, and I'll take a look at it. But then
okay,
going,
I will.
And then but going then back to the broader question of, well, how do employers hire, and do they get overwhelmed by, say, all these email submissions? The answer is yes, they can get overwhelmed, because there are a lot of situations now where you may have hundreds or even thousands of submissions mm-hmm. for a job. But we have to go back and ask, okay, well, what are the jobs that are listed that way? How significant are those number of jobs? And mm-hmm. the answer is actually relatively insignificant, okay? And this is where the big, big problem is with job seekers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is most job seekers, if I polled everybody that was listening and found out what are they doing with their job search, most of them, maybe even all of them, are relying on published job listings to look for work.
Right.
Okay. That nowadays means they're going up to Monster.com or Career Builder.
Right, right.
They're going to some specialized sites.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is relatively few jobs are ever listed that way.
Right.
Okay.
Right,
so
exactly.
The employers are going to do the same thing that every employee would like to do, every potential employee, which is they're going to think to themselves, hey, do I know somebody that can fill the job that I have? And if I don't know someone directly, I'm going to do something like I'll call up a Dr. Michelle and say, Dr. Michelle, you know, friend of mine, I'm looking for such and such type of person. Do you know anyone like that? Or I'll send you an email. I'll send it out to a bunch of people. But we're going to look within our network to find people, okay? And it's only after we exhaust those couple options of who do I know, who do my friends know, that we actually say, you know what, I'll put it up on Craigslist now. Because it's going to take me more time to go through a bunch of submissions from Craigslist. I have to pay a little bit of money for that, and sometimes you have to pay a lot more money. And the reality is the employer doesn't want to do that because the employer is no less lazy than anyone else. They want to do it the easiest way possible. The easiest way possible to hire someone is finding someone that you already know.
Exactly. That's the way it works. Right. It's who you know, baby. May I ask you, Susan, what kind of business you're in?
Well, actually, I've done a little bit of editing.
Oh, great.
But I need more training, actually.
Okay.
Right. Well, we do know a few things about editing, interesting enough. The school that I have is actually really revolves around post-production. So we teach video and TV and film editors and then graphic designers and audio engineers.
Where can folks get in touch with you about your school?
Well, we're in Burbank. It's a video symphony, and we're online, and we're easily reachable by phone. It's videosymphony.com. The editors, one of the big things is determining what your skill set is as an editor, and then what you can offer people. So that gets into what software you know, what genres of work you do, what types of clients you've worked with. So again, if you would like me to take a look at a resume, then feel free to submit that at hollywoodjobs.tv, and I'll give you a free critique on that.
Good deal.
Absolutely will.
Thank you so much for calling in, Susan. Good luck to you, and I know he really helped you out a lot.
Thank you, and I'll be sure to check out that school as well.
All right. Thank you, Susan, for calling in. Have a good one.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Susan.
Folks, if you want to call in, just like Susan, you can do so at 323-203-0815. And you're on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist, as you always are on Fridays, 11 Pacific Standard Time, here on LA Talk Radio. And my guest today is Mike Flanagan. He's the author of Hollywood Jobs, 493-page book, going to help you get hooked up in your career of choice. Hollywood, entertainment industry, or wherever you would like. This applies to all, and networking, and how to think. You know, you can do the actions. Here's my thing, psychologically. You can do all the actions that Mike Flanagan suggests, and you can carry through, but you got to have people skills, and you got to have a mind to create the positive imagery and to manifest those things, too. Got to put the energy out, but you got to get good vibes to people. And the only way, in my opinion, sometimes you can do that is to have a positive mind. You're not going to present well unless you get your stuff together and be okay about who you are. So there's a nice amount of information here devoted to having positive thoughts, changing your mind, and getting your acts together in order to put it out there. So can you talk about the power of positive beliefs? I just went, okay, I'm going to that chapter right away when I first saw this.
Absolutely.
It's my thing. You know.
Yeah, Dr. Michelle, I do have a chapter called The Power of Positive Beliefs, as a matter of fact. And I don't advocate just creating positive beliefs just on the basis of fluff. Hey, I feel good about myself. I mean, that's fine, but it has its limits. I advocate on the basis of what are the facts of the situation, and then how do those facts actually speak in a way that's very positive. So, for example, I talk about having a philosophy of abundance.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is that we have a very big country. We have a very profitable, we have a very affluent country.
Yes.
And there are a lot of employers, and there are a lot of jobs out there.
Yes.
And so even right now, in the midst of the Great Recession, there are 2.5 million open jobs, okay?
All right.
That's as of, right today.
Yes.
The government does compile the statistic. Now, this number is not as high as it was, say, during peak employment time, but 2.5 million open jobs. So if we adopt a philosophy of, you know what, there's a lot of jobs out there. I know there are ones for me that I can find, that I can make a valuable contribution to an employer to, and I can get those jobs. That will make it a lot easier, a lot less anxiety-producing for you. So that's one example.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
If you adopt the philosophy that I mentioned a few minutes ago, which is that you don't have to be in an adversarial role, thinking that, hey, you know what, I'm in an adversarial position with the employer, and the employer doesn't want to hire me. The reality is the employer wants to hire you, the employer needs to hire you or someone just like you, and they want to be able to do that as fast and easily as possible, because if you're not filling the job that they have, they're not getting work done that they need to get done. So that's a very powerful thing, you know.
And yes,
if you think about that, it's like, okay, there's a lot to be positive about.
Yes.
Another thing certainly to be positive about is the ease of finding work now if you know how to do it. Because of all these great internet tools, like, for example, LinkedIn that I mentioned earlier, it is much, much easier to get a job now if you know how to do it. So really some very positive things in the midst of some, you know, obviously some challenging times. There are still, there's still a lot of jobs. There will continue to be a lot of jobs. And there are nice tools to be able to find those jobs and connect up with people.
Right. I agree. And that, you know, that is the reality. That is the positive approach, but it is reality.
Right.
And, you know, I encourage folks to look at the reality of all the skills they have.
Right.
You know, that's part of the positive, and not only positive affirmations, being aware of what, you know, all the wonderful things that you have, the gifts that you have, the talents you have, and confirming those if you need to on a daily basis. You know, I am, you know what, I am good at this. I have been recognized for this. I am educated in this. I am, and if there's anything else also to make yourself feel more positive, take care of yourself physically, clean yourself up. You know, there's, you know, I have a lot of clients who have or do come into me in the industry, and they're very casual. You know, sometimes they look very casual. They don't look, I'm just saying, this is something off the side. They don't look as well groomed as they should. And I say, hey, you know what? Maybe you should, like, you know, that, that like half a beer
freshen,
thing's kind of sexy, you know
bit.
What I'm talking about, to get the ladies. But you might give yourself a shave and a haircut.
Freshen up a bit.
You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of parts to this positive. It's feeling good about yourself, too. You look in the mirror and you go, yeah, okay. I don't think I'm the best looking guy on the block. You know, whatever.
Or
you know,
maybe
we
I
all
am.
Think.
Or maybe
you know what?
Yeah.
I look marvelous.
There you
I look
go.
Really good. I'm a good looking guy. And I deserved it. But I mean, it all goes hand in hand. It's the thought process of what you're putting out there about how you feel about yourself. And also, again, the reality of the skills you bring into that. And also, what are you willing to learn? What are you willing to brush up on and get your act together on before you go in there? Like you said, you have a lot of tools so you can find out what they're doing, what they're needing, so you can be ready to go in there and not BS, but learn some stuff. You know, like Susan said, I want to get a little stronger on my editing skills when she called in.
Right, right.
You know, so think about that. How can you improve yourself? Or if you, you know, really want to focus on a particular skill, get up to speed on it, or just learn how to do something at least,
right,
so you can impress that person. Be a little bit above the next person who came in or that other person who came in.
Right. And one thing, Dr. Michelle, that's really important, you've alluded several times to skills.
Yeah.
You know, everyone has skills, and of course you can always develop those skills.
Yeah.
But one of the big tricks is to just figure out how better to communicate what skills you actually have, and you may not even be aware of them.
Right.
Sometimes you have to sit down and sort of force yourself a little bit to figure out, okay, what do I really know? What can I really do? And go beyond just a one-line thing. So I'll give an example. A lot of times I'll see resumes, and keeping it in the entertainment industry, a lot of times people will say, okay, you know what? I know Final Cut Pro. I know Avid. Okay. These are two editing systems a lot of people are familiar with. And that's the extent of it on the resume. Now, they may have been using one or other of those software packages for years or you know, many months, and they can do any number of things with that, but they don't say that. All they do is say Final Cut Pro or Avid, you know, or someone will say, you know, Microsoft Word or Excel or Office. Well, you know what? What can you do with those things? And there's a whole bunch of things you can do. And you know what? And one of those things or several of those things might be just the trick that gets the employer to think, you know what? You know what? I need someone to do this particular thing.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you just say, you know, I know this particular software, we don't know anything beyond that. So delineate, delve a little deeper.
Right.
Okay? Yeah, go beyond just the surface level of what skills you have, and you might surprise yourself by how many things you can do for somebody.
Exactly. And what are some of the things you've created using these particular packages, you know, this particular software or whatever.
Right.
You know, we were talking about people coming into the market. There's a lot of older workers. I'm thinking about some of the folks I've seen in the past who are sort of middle-age-ish, and they're not happy with what they're doing. They'd like to change careers, and whether it's the entertainment industry or whatever, they want to go back to school, and they want to sort of get going again. A lot of people have done this, but,
absolutely,
you know, there's a thing about feeling uneasy and afraid to compete with a lot of younger, cheaper workers who are, you know, coming into the market and have these super skills because, you know, the orientation they were brought up in, computer savvy people. You know, how can older people coming into any kind of industry feel good about themselves after doing something for so many years?
Well, that's a very good question, and it's becoming more and more commonplace because there are, you know, more, we have an aging society, the more baby boomers entering, you know, kind of the age of 50 plus. I can answer that in several different ways. Mm-hmm. First way is with a story from my own experience as an employer, and that is just within the last, you know, 2 or 3 months, I have actually hired 4 people with an average age of about 54.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
None of them younger than about 44, all the way up to, say, 65.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm that uncommon of an employer that realizes that, you know what, there are some seasoned, we'll call them seasoned, experienced, you know, people. And I don't even think of them as older necessarily.
Okay.
You know, but they know their stuff. They have valuable contributions. They've demonstrated that they know what they're doing and all. And why am I not interested in that? Because that seasonality is a seasonedness is a great thing.
Right.
Someone who's, say, just coming out of college, you know, bless them, they have obviously other things, you know, going for them.
Sure.
But they don't have that same level of experience or knowledge, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the same kind of stability that a lot of employers are looking for.
Yes.
Frankly, I want to have someone who, you know, is able to focus and concentrate on what it is that we're doing, what we need for our company, and I don't necessarily want to have someone who is going to be flitting off to something else, you know, a year from now or 2 years from now, or is going to have some significant change in their life that's going to cause them to, say, move away.
Right.
You have a little bit older, you know, employees. They're a lot more, you know, focused on what they want to do. They've demonstrated it, and they're not necessarily going to be moving away, you know, in 6 months. So.
No, that's a great way of looking at it, and I think that kind of calms a lot of people's fears out there who think that they're trying to compete with a lot of younger, more savvy, technically savvy, you know, folks out there, and that's a really good thing. It is, and I think a lot of middle-aged, so-called middle-aged people who are out there, you know, entering the job market again, you know, a lot of women went back to school. They had their kids. They're done. You know, they're older now. They're in their 40s, 50s, whatever, and they're saying, you know what? I want to put it out there again. I have some interest in whatever. But they have people skills. They have maturity, you know. And so, like you said, too, going back to learn a new skill, as we suggested earlier to Susan, is a good idea. By the way, folks, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Dr. Michelle, and you're on the couch with me, as you always are, about this time on LA Talk Radio. My special guest is Mike Flanagan. He's the author of Hollywood Jobs. It's a wonderful guide to getting a gig, and it doesn't have to be in the entertainment industry. It's just generally looking for work, how to approach it, all the different ways to do you can think, all the different tools we have out there besides the resume, the networking capabilities. I want to talk to you about this too. A lot of folks who I've spoken with, who I've given therapy to in the past, are pretty, there's a lot of real people. And I know you out there listening all over the country think, you know, we folks in L.A. are phony. We're not. Okay? It's like, you know, a lot of clients say, I just, God, I network and I try to go to different, you know, activities or parties or, you know, like gatherings. And I find out where there's meetings or conventions in the entertainment or whatever kind of industry they're in. And I just feel so phony because I go out there and I try to talk and I try to fit in. But I have this thing within me that just says, oh, I just feel like such a, you know, I'm so full of BS when I go to these things and I'm trying to be all great and everything. What can you give them to think about before they start going there in their minds of like, I keep going to these things and I feel like such a phony. It's like, hey, I'm getting in, you know, is there any information or tips that you can give to help people relax a little bit and help them think more positively while they're out there and mixing with folks?
Sure, Dr. Michelle. Yeah, that's a good question. That is obviously a concern that a lot of people have, is they are a little uncomfortable with doing the networking thing. Okay, the networking in the traditional way that we think of, which is going to a physical place, to some event, let's say, and then meeting people in person.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, that's an important dynamic, and so we don't want to poo-poo it, but there's nothing that says that you can't be real or you shouldn't be real in a situation like that. However, that type of networking is not necessarily for everybody. Some people are just a little uncomfortable with that, and so it's important to realize that, you know what, some people are better communicators, say, in writing than they are maybe verbally or face-to-face.
Right.
Because if you're writing, say, using email or chatting online or, you know, Twittering or whatever, tweeting, I guess I should say, then you have the ability to then put into words in writing, you know, what you otherwise would have to speak. And so you may be more comfortable that way.
Right.
One thing about writing is you have a little bit of time to reflect and think about how you're responding, let's say, to somebody, as opposed to, you know, when we're talking face-to-face.
Right, right.
I can't wait too long before I respond, and I may say something that I might be a little concerned about, like, oh, you know, I really wish I would have thought about that a little bit more. Or,
right, beating yourself up about it.
Yeah, exactly.
I came off like such a jerk. Why did I do that?
Exactly. Yeah. So whereas in writing, you can, you know, you can pace it a little bit more. And so I advocate for people that they go with what they're comfortable with. So if you are very fluent as a writer, then why not go ahead and go with that? And you can do an awful lot of very, very good quality networking without ever leaving your home.
Okay? Right.
So there's no requirement says that networking only goes on outside the home, in person, face-to-face. The person-to-person thing is often the way we might sort of kind of complete the package, so to speak. Because a lot of times, you know, we ultimately want to meet somebody that we've, say, been dealing with online. But the reality is there's an awful lot of very, very good quality relationships of business and, you know, personal that are never sort of consummated, so to speak, by seeing someone face-to-face.
It's really true.
I agree. It's done by email. It's done by phone. And very, very successful. You can't poo-poo that. And we're fortunate that we have all the communication tools available that we do now that allows for that, of course.
For me as a clinician, you know, when I'm referring other people or other, you know, clients to psychologists who may be specialists or something like that, when I go to a lot of, you know, gatherings, meetings, things, conventions, you know, we have a lot of classes we go to just to network, give our cards out and stuff like that. There are an exceptional amount of people who are incredible writers and communicators online. But there's something for me about seeing those people time and time again at the same psych gatherings or the same, you know, classes, hypnosis, you know, positive thinking, mindfulness, all the new positive psychotherapy that's out there, a constant, you know, like recognition of, oh, there's a lady I met 2 months ago. Oh, they're so and so. And just by the way they look, by the way they behave, doesn't have to do with they're good looking, but you know what I'm saying. They're just, they're composed, they're professional. So for me, you know, as a referring clinician, I like to see people. And, you know, I do communicate with them a lot online. What's up? What are you doing these days? Would you see this patient or whatever? But the fact that I can eyeball them and chat with them and just get a good feel for how they would come off to someone, really helps me as a referral tool.
Right.
So I don't know, because you have to look really, you have to, again, have yourself comfortable with your self-image. Your self-esteem has to be intact.
Right.
When you finally get that meeting for that interview or that whatever call back or whatever they would call it, you know, the second interview or and the third. So there is a certain component that you do have to follow up with.
Well, you know, one thing that's a really interesting dynamic now, too, that we did not have available more than a few years ago, and this is going back to the people search engine thing, and that is that we can find out information about people before we actually meet them face-to-face.
Oh, yeah.
So I can say, for example, talk to, you know, Sam or Dr. Michelle or whatever, because I've been able to find out, hey, what makes you tick? You know, what is interesting to you? What's going to help you with your business, you know, whatever it is that you're doing, you know. So when we then meet, say, face to face, or if I call you on the phone or whatever, regardless of whether I'm a job seeker or something else, I can talk with you about stuff that I know is going to resonate with you because we're talking about you.
Exactly.
Because I'm able to find out a certain amount about you
by looking
at your LinkedIn profile, for example, or by following your conversations on Twitter, you know, or by looking at your website, even. Okay, there's lots of these ways of doing that. So, and that's very distinct from, say, going to a networking event. Kind of blind, so to speak, and then just having to go off of your intuitive feel once you meet someone, and you really don't know anything about them other than I just learned your name, and I'm trying to like figure out, okay, well, who are you? What do you do? What are you interested in? And there's a certain amount of awkwardness, or there can be, obviously, for a lot of people, because, well, hey, what do I talk about? What's my next thing? And a lot of people, of course, get a little concerned because, hey, while I'm talking to you, you're saying something. I'm trying to formulate my response before you finished, and I don't have to do that as much if I've prepared because I know about you already.
I know
everything there is to know about you.
God, it's scary, isn't it, huh?
Well, it has its pros and its cons.
Thank you for sharing that, Mike. I really appreciate it. Listen, folks, my special guest today is Mike Flanagan. We're just about wrapping up here. Got to make way for the news, but he's the author of Hollywood Jobs. Tell folks how they can get your book here. So it's a good one.
Thank you for asking, Dr. Michelle.
You're welcome.
It is available at hollywoodjobs.tv. We're still in controlled circulation with it. It's a specialty book. It does have a lot of application for any job seeker, but especially those looking in Hollywood. But right now through hollywoodjobs.tv.
All right. Folks, if you're interested, do so. Go on to that website, check it out, order the book. It will help you with really any aspect of job hunting and every aspect of getting your act together and finding out all the networking, opportunities, how to get a Hollywood job, how to get a job in any industry, for that matter, to make yourself just be better for that. Gear yourself up mentally and get hired, basically. Thank you so much for being a guest on my show.
Oh, nice absolutely. To have been you. A pleasure, Dr. Michelle.
It's been a blast. It's really nice to talk to you. Yeah, it's always, fun to talk to somebody who knows what they're talking about, especially when it comes to working, getting jobs in this economy. And it is not as bad as you think, folks. Really, not. All right, we're about wrapped up. You can stay on the couch if you'd like, though. I gotta go. This is Dr. Michelle. I'll be back with you same time next week, Pacific Standard Time, 11 a.m. on LA Talk Radio. And as I always do say, take care of yourself first. And then you can take care of other folks. That's cool, too. All right? Just be good to you. Gotta get your act together first. All right. Bye-bye.